Welcome, everyone, to episode 120 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Stephanie.
And this is Josh.
It's just the three of us today, a little more intimate. We don't have as many people on the show today, but that's okay. And it's actually raining here in the Bay Area, so I'm kind of glad we're recording today. It's kind of, you know, no one else would I'd be doing.
Under a blanket with some wine in hand, so this is perfect.
I have some wine as well. All right. Well, this is Bike Club's show where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fangtastic shows. Our website is bikeclubshow.com. Stephanie is all over Facebook, facebook.com/bikeclubshow. And you can email us, bikeclubshow@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Twitter at bikeclubshow. So our wine selection of the week, I am drinking, but I think I'll save it for next week. Stephanie, you have something, though.
Yeah, I'm sipping on something that I honestly can't pronounce. So sorry in advance. It's a red wine. It's a Pinot Noir, and it's by Emile Chandesai, and you'll have to forgive me for butchering that again. I think it's French.
You're doing a better job than me.
Yeah, it's product of France, and it's called Bourgeon. What do you think?
Bourgeon!
Josh is going to help you out on that one.
Bourgeon! I'm sure mine is just as incorrect.
And we got this at the BevMo 5-cent sale. So it was originally $12. So on a normal day, it's $12, but half of that price is about $6. And I gotta say, it's not bad for $6. I did read some other reviews on this wine, and they actually said that, you know, it's a little thin in red color and a little syrupy upon opening. But they say, you know, once it sits for an hour, it's actually really good. I'm drinking it right out of the bottle. I just opened it and I just wanted to get started. So I think it's still decent. Not my favorite wine, but also not bad for the value if you're going to go to the 5-cent sale. So I'm going to give it 2.5 fangs.
2.5 fangs. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's out of a 5-fang scale,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, like right down the middle. It's
almost a 3.
Like, okay. Yeah, it's like almost a 3. It's not my favorite. Like, it doesn't have like a very memorable taste, but, you know, it's just kind of like, it just feels like your standard red wine. Like, it's something I'd open if I didn't want to open something fancy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's just a normal old wine night. Nothing special about it.
Okay. That's fine. Table wine, you know?
Yeah. Essentially, yeah, it's table wine. But, you know, it's not bad. It's a safe choice, I guess.
You could do a lot worse.
I've had some pretty nasty tasting wines. It's like dirt or some that just has gone rancid. This one's, it's just pretty safe, but I wouldn't say it's memorable. Like, I can't say like I'd see the label and be like, oh, I gotta have it, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. So. Well, okay. Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, well, in an hour, if it's like better, you know, I'll let you know.
Please depending do on how long so. Please do. Okay, it's time to get into our news. All right, well, last night all three of us went to see The Hunger Games, and we are going to go ahead and include a review of The Hunger Games in just a little bit. And the reason why we're going to do that is there was some biting. There was some blood. So we're just,
we really
know,
tried to rationalize this last night.
We like, did.
There's some animals with fangs yes. in it that were kind of, or sharp teeth at least. So, you know,
yeah,
that
they
bite.
Were like mutated dogs or whatnot.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to justify that and as we just did. And we are going to talk about The Hunger Games in just a bit. But we can also tie in talking about The Hunger Games with the fact that there were a couple of trailers that are very, one, very, very important to our show, and the other one that is related to our show. I'm going to start with the trailer that we saw that is related because it is from a popular Stephenie Meyer novel called The Host. Those of you who have been longtime listeners know that I have not finished that book. Okay, I will really, I am going to try and finish it. You know, the movie doesn't come out till March of next year. So we saw the trailer, the first sort of, I don't know, introduction for The Host, a very, very popular Stephenie Meyer book that is completely different from the Twilight universe. It's about aliens, really. And what did you guys think of the trailer? Have either of you read the book?
I haven't, but I'm interested to know why. I'm interested in knowing why you haven't finished it.
I just got bored, but I don't know. Maybe But there are a lot of, well, I don't want to say a lot, but there are a few people that I know that also like Twilight that actually like the host better. So it is a complete departure. It's I can't even explain it, really. It's like these aliens embodying these bodies.
Yeah, it's sci-fi.
It's like, it's kind of Body Snatcher-ish, because that's the vibe I got.
A little bit, yeah.
Trailer.
So what did you guys think of the trailer? First of all, Cersei, I'm going to say her name so wrong. Sarazen, she was in the movie. Yeah, she's Irish. She's really cute. She was just recently in the movie Hannah, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, okay. That's where she's from. Okay.
Yeah, but she's also from something else.
Is she the girl with the blue eyes?
Yes, she is the main lead in the in this movie.
Oh, that's gonna be good.
She was great, Hannah.
Yeah, she was great, really, really great, kick ass in Hannah. What else was she in? I'm looking up her IMDb right now. I guess she was in Atonement. Oh, she was in Lovely Bones. I read the book, but I didn't see the movie. So
yeah, she picks interesting movies.
She does. She does
indie style type movies.
Exactly. And I actually saw her interviewed for Hannah at WonderCon last year. Very, very smart lady. Very, very smart lady. So, and that was before she was cast in the lead for the host. So we didn't see much other than...
Yeah, it was more of a... The trailer was more of a narrative. It was as a little abstract. Well, as abstract as you can get for aliens. It started with, you know, a planet that kind of gets... You know, she's talking about, oh, it's peaceful and it's perfect. Finally happens because the planet's no longer yours, meaning to the humans. And then it kind of shows the planet getting overtaken by this blue glow, which turns into her eyeball. And there's this specific color of the eyes of people who have been taken over, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And it could be like your grandma, your uncle, your friend, your kids. And then that was pretty much it. It ended on her face. And I thought it was cool. It was very, very intense. Like they were pretty heavy with the music, and I was intrigued. I've not read the book. What did you think, Josh?
I like the idea behind it, what they were doing, but when it had the montage of the different faces with the eyes, different colors, I wish those had all been live people, because it almost seemed kind of like.
Like you made it an iMovie?
Yeah, I was like, I could have done that like in an afternoon. Like, I've colored their eyes.
Like they were all just,
yeah, because it was like a bunch of stills from Photoshop of people with their eyes made this particular dark blue. So when it got to her and it was a live person, then that was actually kind of spooky. Yeah. So if it had all been like actors with the eyes done that way, it still could have been really simple, but I think it would have been more effective.
Yeah. I think maybe they couldn't, just because the movie's coming out in 2013, so long away, so far away.
Yeah, like how much are they
extras? Come on,
they probably haven't even shot it yet.
That's the thing. I was wondering, were these like photo stills? I mean, I thought the movie was going to be out, I don't know, November at least. You know, I don't know. And then it said March 2013,
March
29. Which is a complete year from now. So it was almost just more of a text, like you said, Photoshop kind of, you know, here's a little motion graphic of the Earth and sort of like a little bit of because I don't remember the 20% of the book that I read, maybe, you know, part of the text of the book or lines from the book. That's all it really was at this point, which is fine. But I'm intrigued.
It's a very high level trailer.
It was. I am going to finish the book if it kills me. So
I think I'll give it a crack too. I mean, we have a year to read
it. We have a year, so it, there's no excuse. So I will try, really, really try to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't horrible. I just wasn't. It didn't capture my attention, but maybe it was, you know how sometimes things capture your attention more in one part of your life than it does in another. So maybe now might be the time for me to pick it up. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I could see why Stephanie Meyer would want to get the trailer in now specifically, is because the Breaking Dawn 2 trailer came out just now too for the Hunger Games.
And that's our next trailer that we want to talk about, the Breaking Dawn 2 trailer. I actually saw, okay, so there were midnight airings of the Hunger Games, and we went the following evening, and somebody, of course, went ahead and shot video with their phone. It was a little shaky, but I could get the sense of everything. But essentially, they're sort of alluding to what you hear Bella's voice talking, you know, how life has changed for her. And then you see a little bit of Jacob, a little bit of Edward saying they're the same temperature. And then you see her eyes. And then at the end, you see a deer. And then she's like, almost like, I love the look, because she's looking between the tree branch as if, she, you know, like she's about to go into attack mode. And I love, we saw a glimpse of her running in the blue dress. If you've read the books, you know what we're talking about. I'm really excited. It got me excited to see Bella as a vampire. What did you think, Stephanie?
I was super excited. She looks really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Like, I guess her hair is a little darker. She looks a little bit more fierce. And I just loved how she was hunting that deer. She looked like... you know, mm-hmm. I liked it. I wanted a little bit more, but I guess that's the whole point of a trailer. It's going to make you want more. I guess it was really short.
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, I kind of had hopes for a little bit more, but I am excited to see Bella as a vampire.
Me too. Josh, did this get you excited at all to see something a little bit different?
Not really.
Oh, no.
I mean, I am interested to see what, how they handle her as a vampire, I guess. But, you know, I still haven't seen part one, so.
Oh, you haven't?
Oh, I totally didn't know.
Oh, brother. That's all right.
So, yeah, I'm pretty disengaged at this part. I'm not like, hating on it, but I'm just, you know, I'm not all that, you know.
You would never have been, so. Truthfully, throughout the entire run of this podcast, you have not been. So I'm not going to hold that against you.
Yeah. I gotta say, though, Breaking Dawn Part 1 was probably one of the best of the series.
I have to say that, too. I own the movie. I've gone back several times to watch various scenes. I don't do that with the others. I might have.
Oh, okay.
Huh. I definitely didn't do that with New Moon, and I don't own Eclipse. I never bought Eclipse. Yeah. And Twilight... You know, every once in a while, I like to hear... It's just, that was the classic, right? That was the first introduction. And so
They spent a lot more time on the CG. And you could just tell that there was just a bigger budget for this movie. Well,
yeah, and the acting was better. I don't know if it was the directing or if they just matured or if their characters allowed them to act a little bit better. Like, with Rob, I just felt like, finally, he looks like he's smiling and he's happy and that
seemed more natural.
Yeah, and when he was, like, distressed, it was because Bella might die. It wasn't because of some, like, unrequited thing, you know?
And there was no sparkling either.
There was no sparkling, was there?
Intriguing.
Not even on Isle Esme. Like, I expected him to be sparkly out on the beach, but
holy crap,
happen.
I didn't even think about that. You're right.
Yeah.
Sparkleless.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and those are the kinds of things it's like, yeah, we know, we get it, but who cares at this point?
Yeah, and it was one thing that, yes, it happens in the book, it's part of the story, but nobody liked it, really.
Nobody liked it, and every time they tried it in the first three films, it looked janky. Right? Yeah. It looked like, I don't know.
It's just cheesy.
Yeah, it just never
so worked. So if you feel like giving it a chance, I would recommend the third one.
Yes.
The third movie.
Yes. Right. Fourth movie.
Fourth, yeah.
Fourth. Oh, fourth. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. So many, because they're breaking this one into two. Okay, so a couple more trailers before we talk about The Hunger Games. There's a new movie featuring Rob Pattinson called Cosmopolis, and there is a dark, very dark trailer that has surfaced, and he's got a gun. He looks pretty sketchy. What did you guys... I mean, this is, you know...
dark
a different
and dirty.
Rob. Yeah, dark and dirty Rob. So what did we think? I know, Josh, you are a fan of the director or the writer of the...
The director, David Cronenberg.
Okay.
And maybe he wrote it because he's written many of his movies as well. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued just because of Cronenberg, basically.
Okay, so, and what do you think about the story? Are you...
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. I'm just, you know, I mean, it shows a little bit more depth. I just, you know, I'm wondering if people are, at this point in Rob's career, is he going to be able to break out from being Edward, I guess, is that's where I'm wondering. What do you guys think? Stephanie, do you think he can break out?
I think he can pull it off. You know, even when I watched him in other movies, I don't know. I guess Water for Elephants was kind of romantic, movie, but even so, I felt like he wasn't Edward.
He was not. He was Edward, a little different. You're right. Yeah,
and Remember Me, he was a different character. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was Edward. He still has some mannerisms that are still the same. His facial expressions are, his own. But in this particular film for Cosmopolis, he's gone, it's just entirely different, 180 from Edward. He's not a romantic.
He looks
not
mean.
Gentle. Yeah, he's not gentle. He is not a gentleman. Mm-hmm. and this actually, it says that he plays a 28-year-old playboy billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
That who goes for a deadly limo ride in this movie. And so, I don't know. I think he's going to... I think it's smart for him to take these extremely different roles.
I mean, do too.
Because if he wants to break away from Edward, there's no other way other than going all the way to the dirty side. Because sticking with romantic movies is not gonna do it for him.
Yeah. Now, you weren't, unfortunately, with us yet at Comic-Con. But for those of us who were there... Stephanie, Rob had an interesting haircut for the Breaking Dawn.
Oh, I saw photos.
Yeah,
and this half of his head was shaved.
And this is because of this movie. It had to do with this movie role. There was and if you see the trailer, if you notice, part of his hair is all messed up, the same way you may have seen it when he was doing the Breaking Dawn junket at Comic-Con. Unfortunately, everyone were like, "What is going on with
his
hair?"
Well, he's taking it pretty seriously. It sounds like so. I guess he's committed to. Furthering his career, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you watch it, Josh?
Yeah, I just watched the trailer. Yeah, it does look really, it looks good. It looks really dark. So yeah, that'll be interesting if he's able to, break out of the Edward image with this movie.
Yeah. I'm rooting for you, Rob. We're rooting for you. Okay. And in other news, now we know Kristen Stewart is going to be Snow White, and we've seen lots of trailers for that. That's coming out pretty soon, I believe. April? Yeah, and I'm very excited for Snow White and the Huntsman, but she also filmed a movie recently that is an adaptation of a Jack Kerouac book called On the Road, and it's coming to the big screen, and she plays the girlfriend. Let me double check here. She plays the girlfriend. Did you guys read On the Road by any chance? I didn't read it.
I've read about half of it.
Okay. Is it a book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's Jack Kerouac and the Beatniks, and mm-hmm. kind of the foundational novel of the Beatnik movement, showing these hipster kids from the 50s dropping out and driving across America and just trying to see as much of America as they can, et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah.
Yeah.
All I know is that.
Oh, go ahead.
I said all I know is that she plays a 16-year-old girl named Mary Lou in the movie, and it looks like she just kind of smokes a lot. And
yeah, she marries the lead guy, who is Dean Moriarty, and that is played by the guy who was in Tron, the guy who was Jeff Bridges' son in Tron.
Okay.
But anyways, it is sort of like this. I don't know. The film apparently had been in the works for years and just couldn't get done. It's just one of those films that just gets stuck. Like, people think it's a great idea, and then for whatever reason, budgetary or people or creative differences or whatever, just never gets made. And then from what I understand, it almost took, getting Kristen to sign on to get it, to print or to get it to go, to get it to be greenlit. And... Elizabeth Moss of Mad Men fame is in it, and so is Amy Adams. Love her as well. I don't think they're, on the road with the rest of these guys, but they're part of the film as well. So you'll see some, familiar faces in this movie, and we'll see how it does. So anyway, so that's Kristen's other film, and from what I understand, she was so excited to get the part and was... so excited that she was going to be a part of the movie. All right. We are going to talk about the Walking Dead finale. And, of course, there's that little show called The Vampire Diaries that we love. They're back. We talked about last week's episode, how we were kind of meh about it. I don't think we feel that way this week, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about The Hunger Games, everybody. It's very important because there's a lot of comparisons to Twilight, at least in terms of the phenomenon and the... potential phenomenon of this franchise. Now, it is a completely different world. Yes, it's a young adult film. So in that sense, it, or a young adult novel as well. So in that sense, it will cater to that Twilight fandom, but...
And then some, though.
And then
I mean,
some, yeah.
In our, even in our little group that went last night, Eileen, like, and Josh, like, there were more dudes than ladies in our group. And in looking behind us of who was sitting in the theater, it was a pretty good even split between men and women.
Yeah.
But you could tell from the reactions at different parts of the movies that, yes, there were the Twilight-type reactions, right? Ooh, or yay, or, you know, screaming during the movie.
Yeah.
That sort of
it
thing.
It didn't get too crazy, though, thank God. So.
No. It was a good amount of fun.
Yeah.
But, and yeah, I think it's got a good region, but I don't. I can. It's not the same movie as Twilight. It's
oh
not
God!
The same
no,
not
such
even
a
near.
Such a different emphasis in the story. Yeah, and that's
yeah. And
love
I was
story is an afternote. I thought
it is, and I was a little worried that they
exactly.
were going to try and play up the love story, and they didn't. Thank God, because that's not what this is. It's about the society. It's about survival. It's about, you know, Katniss standing up to. That's the lead character standing up to.
The
Capitol and the President Snow and things like that and just being put in this horrible situation where, you know, in order to get food for your district you have to fight to the death, which is so crazy, and sort of their commentary on reality television and sports and all of that is really I don't know, it's both moving and intense and important, I think. And as a fan of the books, I've read them all, and apparently there might be apparently they might pull a Breaking Dawn where the last book, Mockingjay, might be two films. I've watched a few interviews with the stars recently, and one of them was with Woody Harrelson, who did a fabulous Haymitch. Didn't think he would do it justice, but he pulled it off.
He
was great. And apparently he had slipped up in another interview that he had signed on for four films, and he's kind of playing coy with this latest interview because they asked him point blank about it. He's like, I don't even know if we're gonna do a second one. It all depends on if people like this one.
Sure,
it was like
sure.
you know this. It was sort of a home run. I mean, unless they really botched up the film. Which they didn't. And also, the film itself, is one of the highest grossing films so far, on a one day, like in one day, it made like $68.2 million for Friday. And it's, on track to possibly make $140 to $150 million for just this weekend alone. That's
I believe
huge.
It with the lines that we were standing in.
Oh my God. Crazy. Right. And the critics, I would say overwhelmingly, I have seen 80% positive reviews with a few, you know, dorky negative reviews.
Right. I mean, the biggest negative things I heard were some people were uncomfortable with the shaky camera style.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was a little hard to follow at some points. I thought it was fine, though. I thought it made it seem a little bit more real. Mm-hmm. And the other criticism was that people just didn't really believe the love story between Peeta and Katniss.
Yeah,
I think I heard that from our Catherine Reitman's Breaking It Down show. She was just like, yeah, I don't know, maybe it was like a miscasting of Peeta, or that, you know, they just didn't do it right, but she didn't find the love story to be believable. And, you know, I was trying to go in with an unbiased opinion. And the thing is, like, I don't know. Like, I wasn't a big Peeta fan. I mean, I liked him in the books, but I couldn't really connect to him in the movie either. But it was kind of, like, not even really that important because it wasn't the biggest point of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Gale was super hot. I mean, but even Gale didn't get that much FaceTime because the story wasn't about him, really.
Well, he's not really in the books either. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the first book, he'll come into play a lot more in the next couple books. But
mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know. I think when she thought she lost Peeta after she nursed him to health and he almost ate the berries, I believed it right then and there. I mean, I believed it in the cave scene, and I believed it, again, when she found him and she's, you know. But also at this point, we have to remember in the book, she doesn't know how she feels about him, because this is possibly all a ploy, you know, for sponsors. You know, let's do the star-crossed lover thing and work with it.
You know, that actually makes a lot of sense, because if she doesn't even really know if she believes it either, then of course, why would we?
Yeah, she doesn't in the books. Remember, she... Mm-mm. Sorry, Josh. She denies this until the end. So, you know, I think that's good that you aren't sure, because if you're not a book reader and maybe you're watching this, you're like, huh, do we really believe Peeta's intentions, or is he just playing along with the game as well? And how good are they at acting in order to get to, you know, to get their parachutes, their medicines, their sponsorships, you know, to win.
I loved Haymitch's note. Like, oh, you call that a kiss?
I love that too. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of the film, I feel like as a, I don't know. I just felt like a lot of it actually became visually more appealing than even what I thought it was. I was a little worried in seeing the trailers that, her district, her world wouldn't be as dirty and as poverty stricken, because we didn't really see it. We only saw her kind of out in the field, and we saw them at the reaping when they're cleaned up and they're, you know, like, oh God, are they going to get chosen, you know, to go to the Hunger Games or not? But then when it opened and I saw, you know, the housing and the people and the dirty, I was like, okay, now this is what I really envisioned this. This is, and then the Capitol itself was just better than I had ever thought. And
I was pretty impressed with the Capitol. I wasn't sure which one I was more excited to see, like, being that I wondered how they were going to do the actual Hunger Games arena. Mm-hmm. And I wondered how they were going to present the Capitol. And I got to say, the Capitol scenes really blew me away. I just, you know, what I envisioned was not as cool as what they had in the movie.
Yeah, I think so too. Me too.
Just the whole city of when the train, when they saw the city from the train, it was just, I was like, wow, that's gorgeous. And
yeah, it was
such a good job.
Totally, totally agree. And the intensity, the emotions, I mean, I had to hold my tears a few times during the movie, and I knew what was going to happen. And I still felt like, you know what I loved? I loved all the actors. I really don't even think I could fault any of them. I thought they did a really decent job. You know how sometimes there's like someone who's kind of lame, or maybe there's just some corniness or whatever. I didn't really feel any of that at all. I felt like they held the intensity and the emotion for the majority of the time. And that's hard to do, I think.
I loved Rue. I thought she was so cute. And she just had this innocence about her that really transferred from the book to the screen really well.
Yeah. There was a little bit of, I read a little bit of reviews. They're like, oh, Haymitch cleaned up a little too fast. I'm like, yeah, I think so. But you have to accelerate that storyline. You have to get him to be the mentor. In the books, he's definitely more of the drunk, and it takes them a longer time to, you know, get information out or for him to even feel anything for them, because he's so...
Maybe we could have done that if the movie was like 3 hours long.
I know, exactly. So that's why it didn't even matter. And then at the end with the dogs that were not morphed beings from the dead tributes. Josh, you and I talked. I was like, oh, they have to do that. And then they didn't. And they just made these sort of like, you know, animatronic dogs that they just... made and I actually feel like that's okay, because that would just be another layer of explanation that I think people would be confused with,
and I also wonder where they could go with that story, and they're not really going to go anywhere with that story, really.
Well, that's I mean, if this it's movie? Not I've only read the first book, so if that's something, if the weird splicing of the human genes into the dogs is not something that comes back later, then I could see them removing it from the movie. Because, even the book, that was the one thing where I didn't think it was bad, but it was the one thing that almost kind of didn't fit with the feel of the rest of it, just because it was so much more outlandish and science fiction-y.
It was shocking, honestly. The rest of it. When I read it, I was like, what?
Right.
What are they doing? Oh, my God. And I couldn't honestly visualize what it looked like.
Yeah,
it just seems so grotesque, and I'm actually glad that they took it out of the movie. I don't think we needed it. now, you know, now that I've seen it, there was just so much that they got right, you know, so much. Like when Katniss was about to go into the arena and she's saying goodbye to Cinna, I was like, oh my God, I was shaking for her. I could tell that she was like panicked, you know, I could tell she was like, holy crap.
You know, the one thing I'll say is that, I mean, I thought it was really good and solid, but I liked almost all of the pregame stuff better than the actual games, just because I was so blown away, like you were saying, Eileen, about how well they portrayed her district and how well they portrayed the Capitol. Mm-hmm. That then when the games occurred, it was all good, but somehow it was just really following the book very closely and doing a good job of that. But I wasn't as blown away by that as I was by the first third of it. I mean, it's still really good.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. I was very impressed with the trees and the fire, though. I had to say, I was freaking out. I was freaking out for her. I was like, oh my God, run, Katniss, run. Oh my God, the smoke, poor girl. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like the survival, I felt like I was trying to survive through the film, not in a bad way, but like, oh my God, you know, how, even though I know at the end of the day, she was going to be fine. It was still kind of rough to see all that. And,
part of it too, was the audience we had, that sometimes their commentary kept breaking me out of the film. I was like,
I know.
Ah, shut up. I mean, there was like one really funny comment early on, but then there were other people who tried to do the same thing. And I was just like, shut up.
Yeah. Yep, very true. But overall, thumbs up for me. What about you guys?
Thumbs up for me too. Yep.
Definitely go see The Hunger Games. It is, you know,
it's not as detailed as the book, but it has inspired me to like look back at the detail. Like being that I've already read it, I might want to reread it.
Yeah,
is good enough to make me do that.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the next. Ugh. I can't even, can I just, you, okay, so just for the next book, and Stephanie, you will get this, but I can't wait to know who's Finnick. That's all. I'm waiting to know who that hot boy is, because I'm waiting to see, I don't know if they're going to go with a name, or if they're going to go with, like, just a newbie, and, you know, I mean, whatever. We'll see. Okay, moving on. On to the Walking Dead finale.
I was stressed out the whole time.
It was very stressful, but I think that's good, though, because I wasn't bored. There wasn't any long, like, scenes that took forever that you thought, God, get on with it already. I mean, there wasn't any more character development at this point. It was run for your life entire episode. And you can't expect anything less for a finale, I think. And because it was so jam-packed and they were just running to just stay alive, I actually really enjoyed it. And I think it was one of the best episodes of the season, right?
Really fast-paced.
I agree, yeah.
So, you know, we start off and we see sort of how these hordes of zombies kind of started moving towards the farm. And then we end up, you know, getting back to Rick and Carl, who are kind of talking like what happened, and they're walking, and I'm just like, they're right behind you.
turn around.
Finally they hear him, and it's like, oh my God, I didn't know how they were gonna get out of that. And you know, they went into the barn, and then, you know, they had, you know, Rick had the smarts to do the fire, but I just had no idea. There were a couple casualties along the way. But I was freaked out for everybody. Maggie and Glenn in that car, and she's like,
and everyone
can't
got split up.
Everyone got split up, and then
Andrea got left behind. Oh my God.
So good. I love that, you know, that the stakes were upped. Like, were they all going to be able to meet? You know, Lori was, she's like, turn around. And he's like, are you kidding me? We have to go east. And she's like, no, they would go after me. And I thought it was really good in terms of being afraid for that whole camp. And I was wondering who was going to make it. And then the sister, the one sister that got, you know, they were running with Lori, and she was going to, you know, there were three of them, and then one of them got, you know, grabbed and eaten right in front of her other sister. Oh,
that was sad.
I think I was eating dinner
on the edge
of
my seat, like not knowing which which characters were going to leave the show.
Yeah.
And knowing like who's going to bite the dust. And I was actually most intrigued by Andrea, even though as much as I don't like her character, I was just like, she really kept the pacing going, especially when everyone jumped into cars and she got left behind because they thought that she got taken by a walker.
Mm-hmm.
But really, and she was just on the run by herself in the woods for a really long time.
Yeah.
And it was just pretty nuts when someone saved her. And I am not a comic book reader, but I guess there's a character who's going to make a really big impact.
Oh, that was that was an amazing entrance.
You've read the comics? did you read the comics, Josh? I forget.
No.
Oh, okay. Because Tom was cheering. And he thought, and he said to me, it's early, but I'm happy. It's like early for this character to come in, but he's happy that this.
Well, I was just the visuals of it, because he had two, you know, walkers with their limbs chopped off.
It's
you know,
not
chained.
A
like they were, it's like they were pets. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like this girl who carries around like this samurai sword or something. Yeah. And I kind of looked it up a little, and she's
don't
an actress.
Don't spoil us. Don't spoil.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, really.
Oh.
Well, or I can take my headphones off, and you can tell.
I'm saying what you've seen already. Like she has a sword, she has two pets, and anyway, like she's supposed to be badass, which she clearly was. And I'm just interested to know whether what she's gonna do with Andrea. Like, is Andrea gonna join her clan? Is she gonna? I don't know. And what did you guys think about that big building at the end of the finale, where they don't know where they are and they're looking for shelter, and just right around the corner there's like this huge compound.
It's a prison.
It was the prison.
Is it?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And I heard that there
it seemed like there was a moat around it or something. I couldn't really tell. Mm.
Yeah, I think it's going to protect them. But
isn't there like a gang of prisoners?
I mean, I was trying to ask Tom that, and he's like, do you want me to tell you? I was like, no, it's all right. You can just not tell me.
Because that's what Shane was like pressuring that kid, that prisoner kid, about where his people were. And I swear, I don't know if these are the same people. Was that kid's gang the same as the prisoner's gang? I couldn't really tell.
Oh, I don't know. Actually, I don't really know. But this is supposed to be, this is a big plot. Like, apparently in the comics, they don't really stay at the farm that long. They stay enough, and you don't really know if the farm is just, it's done. You don't even know if it burns down or whatever. There's nothing, none of this, like,
they just can't.
They just leave, and then they end up at the prison. And so the prison is supposed to be where, like, more character just develop, like, characters at this point that are sort of like questioning things, they become more solid, you know? Like, basically it's on the road for Rick to really be the leader, you know? Like, he's had Shane to be his sort of, you know, person that's been sort of, I don't know. I don't want to say just bugging, but like, antagonizing him and just, you know, creating issues and whether or not Rick can get over that. And now I think Rick is really going to assume the leadership role. And I am so happy he said what he said to everybody. I know he was pissed off, but man, it's like, really? You think you want to do this? You want to do this on your own? You think you could do this better? Go on. Get out of here.
Weren't you guys so pissed at Lori? Like the way she reacted to Rick when he told her the truth about what happened. It was kind of like he was confiding in her and just finally, you know, like confiding in his wife who's supposed to support him. And, you know, he explained that Shane was coming at him and he had no choice but to kill him. And then Lori was pissed at Rick. And I guess this just really shows that Lori finally, I guess she really did love Shane.
I know. I guess so. Makes me sick. But
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, okay, should we just give her a pass because she's pregnant, she's hormonal, this is, like, insane. She thought she lost Carl and Rick, and now she lost Shane. You know, like, do we let her pass? Is she going to settle down, you know?
Oh, I just feel bad for Rick.
Me too.
At this point, everybody is, like, pissed at Rick, and they're questioning his leadership and his authority.
I know.
Because he made these decisions on behalf of the group. Now, I can understand that they're mad that he withheld information from them.
Mm-hmm.
That the walkers could, you know, indeed turn into a walker without being bitten, because I guess everybody's infected now.
Yeah, like every one of them is infected now. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So if you die, like, you know, you're going to become a walker.
You're going to be a walker. Yeah. And I can see them being upset about that because that is information that, you know, if I were one of the gang, I'd want to know. Like, what harm would it do to have that information? It's like that would actually help in the case if somebody died, you would know how to dispose of them versus just letting them be buried or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know, but it was interesting comment from Corey when I was watching with him is that he was like, wow, when Rick was giving that speech, he's like, wow, he's as angry as Shane was. Like, he sounds like Shane.
A little bit. Yeah. He was. You're right. He was.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see if they play with if this makes him take a darker route now that he's had to, because he tried to walk the line between still being friends with Shane after Shane has betrayed him in almost every way possible, and then finally got pushed to this point where he had to murder Shane because Shane was plotting to murder him. Mm-hmm. But I think that's gonna be a huge burden on him going forward. Or I mean, either he's gonna have to bury it and then become kind of maniacal the way Shane did, or yeah, I don't know. It opens up a lot of interesting possibilities that I think will. I mean, I think it'll kind of make Rick more interesting because he's always had to be in this position of like, no, guys, do this. No, guys, no, we should do this.
Exactly.
No, guys.
He had to be the better person, which didn't necessarily show him strong. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I'm rooting for Rick. He's my favorite. So screw you guys out there who don't agree or who think you could do better. Yeah, just go. You go try and do better on your own. Good. I would be like, I'm your fan, Rick. Yeah, whatever you want, I'm with you.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with the gang who's left, though.
Me too.
I'm sad for the people who got killed, but I really think that the key players are still there. I was surprised that Herschel lived.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when he was like, this is my farm, I'll die here.
Yeah, when he was doing that standoff and everyone was like, come on. I was like, oh, Herschel.
And he didn't look behind him.
Eat it. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, but I'm glad he's still around. He's such an interesting character.
Yeah, me too. I like Herschel as well. He kind of is another voice of reason. You know what I mean? I mean, I know he's gone a little crazy, but he's lost his whole family in the barn that he kept. And
I'm glad that Maggie and Glenn are together.
Aren't you surprised that the family in the barn, I don't know, I guess they were zombies that were a little less evolved, I guess, but like they weren't strong enough to break through the barn and they were just there the whole time.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. Have you asked Tom about that? If that followed?
Yeah. I mean, there were people in the barn. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Yeah. Anyways, okay. Now, let's go on to our recap of the Vampire Diaries. Oh, and I guess we won't see Walking Dead till, I don't know, October. Usually it's around
October.
Yeah, it's usually close to Halloween. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yay. Anyways, season finale, great. Yay. Moving on to the Vampire Diaries, season 3, episode 17, called Break On Through. Can we celebrate the fact that the Vampire Diaries, that little blip on the radar of last week's episode, has been erased? Can we just go, yay, they're back. They got their mojo back. Episode 17, episode 16, cross it out. Everything else has been good up until then.
I know.
Yeah,
I was
Sage
worried.
Was a lot more, Sage was a lot more interesting this time.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Because I wasn't even sure. I mean, I guess I should have been, they never showed her as a vampire. I mean, that, you know. She obviously scented Damon, knew, and was telling him what to do, but they never really, I don't know. She never really showed being a vampire. So I was like, wait, is she a witch? Is she just crazy?
Just her whole presentation in that previous episode was so sketchy.
Yeah, it was a poor introduction.
I didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. So, overall, better episode. Lots to be discussed. And more interesting character development for Alaric. Oh, thank God.
Like he finally got interesting.
Oh, my God. I was, okay, first of all, I was engaged the entire episode. Usually, Or last week, I kind of dozed off. I actually had to go back and rewind, like, wait, what was happening? Because I was like on my computer half time.
My mind was totally wandering.
Oh, it was so hard episode. that last episode. But here, I was nervous because, you know, they thought just taking the ring off would, this Gilbert ring would help him, you know, get rid of whatever multiple personality he was. And
not so much.
And we figured out no.
Stefan's the one who figured it out, wasn't it?
Stefan did figure it out later on when he found Elena and they were talking about it. Because she was, where was she? She was trying to read.
She went to go.
She was looking at more journals, right?
Yeah. She was looking at more journals.
And he was like, don't bother. I can tell you
what it is. Yep. Yeah. And it was Shannon who didn't like Meredith. I wonder what she thinks today, because I mean, I kind of felt like Meredith was good. And I felt like we should trust her, but, you know, she wasn't really showing, like, we were like, oh, is she the murderer? You know, we had lots of questions on her.
Right.
But I think this episode kind of shows her, she saved Alaric and, you know, created a situation where he wouldn't be a suspect anymore, even though she knows he was the one who was, you know, killing people, but not because of, you know, he was aware that he was doing all of this. So I'm okay with Meredith. Are you guys okay with her now?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I felt like, you know, she was talking to Alaric, trying to, you know, make him feel better. They were trying to figure out everything. And then Elena's trying to dig up more information. And then Stefan's like, oh, wait a minute. I think I know. And then they run back. But it
and
was
at this point,
late.
Alaric had attacked Dr. Fell.
Yeah.
And she stabbed him in the hand as he, you know, tried to get into the bathroom. Mm-hmm. She barricaded herself and he tried to get in and she stabbed him in the hand. But apparently, you know, when Elena came home, he was like, oh, I just fell. I broke a glass and cut my hand. But then she saw the knife on the ground.
Ugh.
And so she knew that Alaric had attacked Dr. Fell. And then in comes Stefan, who saves the day.
Yay!
And he puts Alaric in a sleeper hold, actually, and saves Elena from being attacked. So Dr. Fell is... Oh, I think this is their first scene together, Stefan and Dr. Fell.
I was going to say! Okay, oh. So Paul Wesley, in real life, plays Stefan, is married to Tori DeVito, who plays Meredith. And they didn't really have speaking... They didn't speak to each other, but we know Stefan's been struggling with how much blood he can get from humans. And, you know, earlier in the episode, Elena was confronting him about it, and she confronted Damon. And, you know, Damon's like, wait, you know, Stefan just needs to learn balance and control. And she's like, no, he was doing fine, taking little sips of my blood every day. Maybe he has the wrong person helping him and all this stuff. So he walks in and all this blood is all over Meredith. And I
and
could
he
tell.
Actually asked for, he asked for Elena's help. I was like,
he
oh.
did. Oh, yeah. So he knew because he smelled it, right? From downstairs, he's like, I need you to come with me.
Yeah, and his eyes
help?
Started to turn.
Yeah, his eyes started to turn. And she, you know, Elena goes in there trying, you know, to help. And then just when we thought, uh-oh, is Stefan going to freak out? He just gave her his blood. And then as soon as he knew it was enough, then he left. But that was their cute little first scene together. I was
Too bad she was unconscious.
I know.
they'll never allow them to speak to each other.
I was wondering, I'm like, do they ever get to speak together in scenes?
I bet you next episode.
Yeah.
Because be like she's going to want to know who saved her.
Well, you know. Yeah, we'll see. I feel like that was almost like they don't want to give them too many scenes together.
Yeah, because it won't be believable.
Yeah, I mean, well, if they're good enough actors,
people
it should
get
be.
Distracted.
Yeah, we might get distracted. Yeah. We're like, we know they're married in real life. Mm-hmm. okay, so also during all of this, in trying to help Alaric, Elena reaches out to Bonnie, who is out with her mom, who has just turned into a vampire. who's having some struggles, and Caroline is out there with them. Yay, Caroline's back. And, you know, trying to help out the situation, trying to kind of guide Bonnie's mom, but Bonnie's mom is obviously freaking out. This is hard because in the scene that we saw, she couldn't smell. She couldn't, like,
be one with nature.
Yeah, and that's what witches are. They're one with nature, and she
lost
just felt
her witch connection.
She did, yeah. And she didn't like that. She didn't like that. Who would? You know, she thought. She thought she could still have it, even being a vampire. But she's dead. You know.
Yeah, so. And then I think Abby's the mom. Mm-hmm. She's also beating herself up because she couldn't control her blood urges, and she actually attacked. Was his name Jamie or Jesse?
Yeah.
Her other stepson, I guess.
Surrogate stepson.
Like the boy that she takes care of. Mm-hmm. And she bit him, and she almost killed him, she thought. And yeah. So she's just
that
really
was after he
herself.
Had overcome his fear of her. He was like not even going close to her. Yeah.
Yeah, poor kid. And he was just like, oh, I'm so sorry, Abby. And then she's like hugging him and having a moment, and then she eats him.
Chomp!
I was like, oh, poor kid. But then, you know, so she's about to bolt. Like, she's just like, oh, I'm just going to leave because, you know, I just can't do this. And then I love how Caroline gave her the talk about how, you know, like, I can teach you how to be a vampire, but I can't teach you how to be a mom. Mm. Like, that's all on your own. And you left once, don't leave Bonnie again. And, and I just love that. She said no one's better off without their parent. And yes. She's really alluding to herself, how she just lost her her dad. And I just love that scene. It was pretty touching.
Yeah, totally. And,
but Abby still decided to leave for now, I guess.
Yeah, for now, which is sad. So sad.
Yeah, Caroline, I thought it was great that Caroline gave her that big, you know, impassioned speech of why she should stay, which is usually the kind of speech you hear when it does turn someone, you know, it makes the listener change their mind. But she was still like no, I'm sorry, I'm out of here. Yeah. It's like, oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I was relieved when Bonnie went to go see Elena, because Bonnie was also helping with the spell with Alaric to help fix him. And it was the first time that she had spent any time with Elena. And Elena was just so timid because she was like, God, she's never going to forgive me because it's because of me that her mom turned into a vampire. But Bonnie just put her arms around Elena and was like, I forgive you. I love you. And it's all good, I guess.
Yay.
It was nice. I was relieved because I was hoping that they would come together.
I know, me too. And then what did we all think about her phone call to Jeremy?
No.
I know.
So sad.
I'm so sad too.
I was surprised to see Jeremy, though, on our Facebook page. I think it was Chris who was saying he thought, you know, maybe Jeremy might have been the one doing the killings, and which it wasn't too far off.
Yeah.
Because when Alaric, you know, had this drawer, Alaric had this drawer of all these killings and a note to Jeremy that says, you know, like, if anything happens to me, you must take over my work killing the founders' families. Anyway, so I didn't think we'd see Jeremy, and he's not really connected to anything whatsoever, but it was cool to see him again. And I kind of teared up a little bit seeing how Elena was so, sorry, there's a siren.
It's okay.
Elena was just so emotional because you could tell she just misses her brother so much.
Right.
She can't tell him anything, really.
No, she can't. She just wants to check up on him. He got a dog.
And he has friends.
And he has friends. He's coming back, though. I'm telling you, he's coming back.
I swore at the end of that phone conversation that he was going to hang up, and then there was going to be some ominous, you know.
Oh, really?
Thing in his room, because I mean, he has the same kind of ring that Alaric has, and so he hasn't
prominently placed in a shot too.
Yeah, and he hasn't. I guess he hasn't died as many times as Alaric, but there's got to be some similar danger to him.
There's got to be
some gratuitous deaths, like when Damon snapped his neck and stuff. Oh wait, that was right. Alaric.
Yeah, but I thought because he was saying like, oh well, I'm going out with some people right now, and there was no one else in the room and stuff like that. So I thought that was going to be like he was hiding something.
Are there people in your room when you're about to go out?
Well, just he said the way he said it. Made it sound like the other people were right there with him, and he was, you know, going out with them. So it felt to me like they were setting it up, like he was gonna then there is going to be a pan to some, you know, some shocking piece of evidence. But nope. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to Sage and Rebecca and Damon. So Damon was surprised to see Sage pop back up in his world in the present day. Last time we saw her, she was all in flashbacks. And he confides in her that Rebecca is kind of snooping around. We don't know what she wants. And Sage says, well, I'll help you. I'll help you figure it out. Don't, you know, haven't you forgotten what I've told you? We learn in this process that she's 900 years old, too. Mm-hmm. So she's stronger than Damon. And I like the fact that they keep that up. You know, if you're older, you're stronger, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And she devises a plan to, you know, lure Rebecca and so that Sage, and they all know each other too, and so that Sage mm-hmm. can help figure it out. Now, Sage has an ability, a la Edward, to kind of read people's minds, but she has to touch them, I guess.
Like mind melding.
Yeah, like something. A little mind melding. I don't know. Yeah, and Edward of Twilight, obviously.
Yeah.
And so she was able to pass that information to Damon by making out with him naked in the shower. I was like, okay, you can't just tell us. I mean, they didn't want to tell. They didn't want it because she can hear, because Rebecca can hear everything, obviously. So,
mm-hmm. What did you guys think of all the threesome innuendo before that?
Well, you know, yeah. Trying to be sexy on the show. You know, hey, oh, that is it is. Vampires are about sex, so.
I like what he told Stefan. He was like, "Well, unless you want to see what did he say? A Rebecca Sage sandwich, you should make yourself scarce."
He's like, "Yeah, out of here. I got enough to deal with." So Damon finds out what Rebecca is looking for. Or wants or thinks will lead him, you know, or basically can uncover kind
what
of
she's what after. She's
after. What she's after, yeah.
She's snooping around.
The white oak.
And it turns out Damon does a little bit of research and, you know, it's all in-house because, you know, Salvatore owned a logging company. That the white oak, what the... I like Damon's sort of discovery, like, you know, kind of like, what, you know, WTF, like, really? Yeah. The tree is still alive? No way. And mm-hmm. it's the Wickery Bridge. It's the mm-hmm. bridge. It has all yep. that. Yeah. Oh my God. And then now during all this time, Sage has told Damon that she was in love with Finn, one of the originals, mm-hmm. one of Rebecca's brothers. And, you know, Damon's like, whatever, he left. He's out of here. He's gone. He didn't care about you. And, you know, she has this devotion of love, which I hope we find out. You know, maybe we'll see some flashbacks or whatever, because I'm just like, really? You love this guy? This guy's, I don't know, he's pushed you away, and he's been gone for all this time, and now he's not here, and, you know, why didn't he find you? Blah, blah, blah. But in the end, Sage double-crosses Damon because she doesn't want Finn to die.
Yeah, because when they made this discovery about the wood being under the bridge, Damon was really excited about it because he's like, oh yeah, you know, like we can kill the original, we can kill Rebecca. And then Sage has this look on her face and she's like, well, you see how this could be a problem for me, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because Finn would also be killed, but we find out that she double crosses Damon for good reason is because she actually found out by digging in Damon's head that if you kill one original, you kill them all. That still holds true. Mm-hmm. And so she feels betrayed by Damon for withholding that information. So
exactly. Yeah. So there was the burning of the bridge, but ultimately, as we find out, Damon was able to rescue a sign.
How convenient.
Because Alaric forgot to bring it with him to the dedication.
Oh, yeah. And it came from the bridge. Oh, that's right. They were having another dedication or some other.
Endless.
They're always having ceremonies at Mystic Falls. You know, Founders Party, a dedication, or whatever. Boy, they love their heritage. You got to.
History is kept alive there more than any other place in America.
But they don't want to tell anybody about the vampires. Right. No way.
Except for that part.
So yay, there is still some original white oak tree wood to be found, and you know, Damon says, "Let's go kill some originals."
Mm-hmm.
To step in.
Yeah. So with this said, I just gotta say, I miss Klaus.
I know.
I do too. Well, oh wait, no, I don't miss Klaus.
Where is he, and what's he doing, and is he like calling Caroline? Is he, is he sending her drawings of more horses?
I mean, he's gotten all these love letters with all these pretty pictures in them.
Like, I actually don't even remember what his exit was.
Oh, he hasn't been in the last couple episodes.
Yeah,
huh?
Like, why not? Like, what's he been doing?
Well, he kind of left, right? Didn't he just go away? And I don't even remember anymore either. It's been so long. But you're right. Maybe love has blinded Klaus.
He's like sulking in a corner.
Well, maybe
Caroline
he's trying
didn't return his love.
Maybe he's trying to figure out on his own too. The possibility of the location of the white
tree.
Of the other tree, and maybe he's with Elijah, and you know, maybe he's trying to find his brothers, trying to talk to them. I don't know, but he should be in the next episode. From what I understand from the previews, he will be back.
Good. I haven't seen the preview yet, but I just realized, I was like, God, I miss him in the storyline. Like, you know, I guess with the introduction of Sage and how Rebecca is still around, like. I'm still a little unimpressed with Sage. I mean, it was better sleep, but I just don't really see the staying power with her right now. It made me miss Klaus's character, and I just realized, like, he hasn't been around, and it makes me sad.
Speaking of haven't been around, I would love
to
see
Catherine.
Yes.
Yeah. She hasn't been in this whole season.
Didn't we last see her in Chicago? And before the break. She was, you know, kind of hunting around or whatever. All right, so here's the description for the next episode called The Murder of One. Savior of the Cursed and the Damned. Damon and Stefan focus on a new project that will bring them closer to destroying Klaus. And they quickly bring Elena, Caroline, and Matt. Oh, Matt.
Matt. Oh, I forgot about Matt.
In on the plan, I know. After Klaus threatens...
He's become the new Alaric.
I know. After Klaus threatens someone close to Bonnie, she has no choice but to work on the spell he needs. Meanwhile, Klaus and Rebecca find the perfect motivator to convince Finn to cooperate with them. So there you go. Finn should be in this episode, because otherwise, what's the point of Sage? But Rebecca is more interested in her own brutal plan to take revenge on Damon. Using her to heat... Did she really fall for him? Did she really fall for Damon? That's so...
It's really hard to say. Well, Sage was emphasizing, you know, she's still just a girl inside. And
it's true.
I think that Damon did kind of use and abuse her in a way.
Very true.
Or like he tossed her to the side.
Mm-hmm. Stefan's emotional turmoil leads him to a dangerous confrontation with Klaus. And later... to a heartbreaking moment with Elena. Oh, again, they've already broken each other's hearts so many times. Come on, Stefan. Jeez.
Get it together, man.
Get it together. You love the girl. Oh, get over it. Okay. So, plenty to be looking forward to for the next episode. I think, you know, we just had the little blip, but I think we're back on track. I think we're okay
Sounds
for the rest of the
like
season.
It. Let's hope. Let's hope. Yeah.
I hope Sage gets a little more interesting.
Yeah, me too. I think Tyler's going to come back too, because I've seen.
Oh, I forgot about him.
I've seen tweet pics of him saying, "Hey, I'm shooting scenes with these guys today," and it was just like the, you know, director chair, and you know the names on it are like Nina.
Yeah, the
ones
have not been around for some time.
Yeah. Yeah. So. So I don't know. Maybe Klaus is
maybe
trying to find
Tyler.
Yeah. You know, they have that connection now. So I think we're back on track, and yay!
Woohoo!
All right. Well, there goes our big epic episode for this week. We'll be back next week to talk more Vampire Diaries and anything else that may come up. I don't think there's another big movie premiere next week. There's a lot of movies. We talked about the Dark Shadows trailer last week, but they did have that also on before the Hunger Games as well. So
I liked it. It looked funny.
It looked funny, yeah. I thought the trailer was well done, so we'll see how the movie actually
And when does anyone know when Snow White comes out?
I think it's late April, early May, something like that.
Sounds good. I want to watch it.
Very, very exciting. Okay, well, thank you everybody for listening to this episode of Bike Club Show. And until next time, bye.
Bye.